Welcome to the Fan Lebatard Show, episode number 9. Like, subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. Follow the show on Twitter at @Lebatard_fan. So a little backstory before we get into today's episode. Months ago, I slid into Lorenzo Rodriguez's DMs after he visited my Animal Crossing island on one of his Twitch streams. I told him I was about to start a podcast and I wanted him to be my first guest. Well, if you've been listening to the podcast since the beginning, you know that didn't happen. But finally, on episode 9, we managed to wrangle Lorenzo for an all-encompassing conversation. Brace yourselves, friends, as we enter the Lorenzone. This is the Fan Lebatard Show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have now entered a hallowed ground. We are in the Lorenzone. Very exciting. This is something that I've been wanting to put together for quite some time now, and I'm happy we've been able to make this happen. Lorenzo Rodriguez, welcome in to the Dan Lebatard Show, second most popular fan podcast.
These poor, poor people. What are you doing to them, Ty? Why are you subjecting them to this? To this interview with me?
I think they like you, Lorenzo. I think they do. The people, they adore you. You're a man of the people.
I thought you said you like me. I don't care about everyone else. I care about you.
As long as I have your
adoration and appreciation.
Well, I do certainly like you. That's for sure.
Then we're good. It's just a conversation between you and I. Forget the audience.
I don't know if I need to remind you of this, but do you remember our connection point, Lorenzo? Do you remember our first interaction, how this whole thing came to be?
I have a horrible memory, so give me a hint. Don't tell me, just hint. Give me a hint.
Gaming related.
Oh, you were on the first few Twitch streams. Wait, I went to your island.
Yes, you remember.
Went to your Animal Crossing island, of course.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm glad you remembered that.
Yes, you have a fantastic Animal Crossing Island.
It was very spooky around the holidays.
That's right. I wish mine was tidy and as well kept as yours is. My wife, her island is far better than mine. No surprise. She calls mine Trash Island.
Wait, you have two separate islands?
Well, that was an interesting topic at the beginning of the pandemic. She at the beginning of this whole thing when the Animal Crossing phenomenon, just belittled it. She used to rag on me, but then little by little she started just creeping over my shoulder when I would be like, oh look, I got a new villager or something. She just like slightly intrigued until eventually she downloaded the app for the phone, which is a watered down version of the game.
Yeah, Pocket
it's
Camp.
Good, but yeah, Pocket Camp is no Animal Crossing New Horizon. And then she eventually said, you know what, I think I might want the game. And for me, a person who enjoys gaming, who would love nothing more than to share that with her, with my daughter to a certain extent. I'm not going to make her a brainless zombie just yet, but these are interests of mine. I wish she would have. And sure enough, she was like, yeah, let's play Animal Crossing, but she wouldn't share an island.
Ooh.
If you have one system, you can only have one island. And then if you have, for every profile you create, you add a house on the island. She's like, I live with you and I share my life and my house with you and everything. I'm not sharing my island with you. So
she has one Lorenzo. She needs a Lorenzo free zone.
that it is indeed. And she's loved it. She's racked up more hours than I have, which is embarrassing. I'm sure she's going to hate the fact that I'm revealing that she's much more addicted to this thing than I am, but she's got me beat for like 50, 60 hours. And I got the game. I was an early adopter of the game.
You got a lot of hours on there. But that was part of the thing when you came to my island. I managed to somehow convince you to become Switch friends with me. And so I see you log on every now and again, and I've checked your Animal Crossing time, and you're up above 500 hours, I believe.
It's taken a dip because there's a new love in my life.
And oh, I know. I know what that love is.
Ty, are you stalking me on Switch?
Listen,
no, you're doing research. Okay, you're doing your research. That's good. That's a good interviewer. The great late Larry King would be impressed.
So how far are you in Breath of the Wild?
I think I have like something like 40 shrines. Not much. Well, considering there's 120 of them, I looked up just how much of everything there is, and it's deflating. There's like 120 shrines. I got 40 of them. I got one of the four beasts, and we're getting there. I got 7 heart containers, so slowly but surely progressing. It's just a monster game. It's a masterpiece of a game as well. I've loved all those Zelda games, and this one's up there with like Ocarina of Time, and it's worth it.
So I've only traditionally enjoyed Legend of Zelda from like a viewer's perspective. I love watching like Majora's Mask speedrun, stuff like that, how people can break these games down. They're insane.
It's insane. The speedrun people are on another level of, I want to say crazy, but no, talent.
Yes.
I've seen Super Mario 64 speedruns and Zelda speedruns, and it's just like, how and why? When do you say, you know what, my goal is to beat this game 100% within 10 hours. I don't even know what it takes to beat Breath of the Wild in a speed run. I know that you can go straight to it. You can go straight to Ganon.
We're talking minutes. Right?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's insane.
Yeah.
Like, you'd have to do it with what, like 3 hearts you start off with?
Yeah, three hearts. You can get off the Great Plateau using some sort of glitch, using the, I think it's, what's it, stasis or magnesis or whatever.
It's always a glitch. That's the thing, though. They always find a little hack, a little glitch, a hiccup, and they exploit it. I know they did that with Super Mario 64 speedruns. They released, we're getting really nerdy here. I'm sorry. Between you and I, you and me.
Yeah, definitely
we're
not. Definitely
no
not,
one else is listening to this.
Definitely not recording any of this.
I'm glad that that I read that there's like the 35th anniversary edition of Super Mario 64, all the 3D All-Star games.
They're selling the bundle.
Released, but they released it like a port of the game, not the original one that has a glitch that people are able, speedrunners are able to use to get to 120 stars in like, I don't know, a matter of like an hour or some preposterous amount of time. There's your time is better suited for other things.
Yeah.
Enjoy the game. Take it in. Just savor it. The hundreds of people took their time and effort to create this game. You're just speeding right through it.
So I feel like you might appreciate what I was literally watching whilst I was waiting for you to get on this call. I was watching someone playing Super Mario Odyssey for the Nintendo Switch, but they had it modded so that the entire floor of every level is lava.
Oh, goodness. And they weren't speed running through this. They just basically...
beat the game with the floor.
With lava. Floor. The floor is lava. Great show on Netflix. Watch it whenever you have a chance. I thought it was a silly, stupid premise, and I'm here for silly and stupid.
It is silly and stupid. I will give you that.
Billy and I saw that had it on our radar for months when we saw it announced, and it's a good premise. I don't know. I saw 3 or 4 handful of episodes. I don't know if it has longevity past a season or two, but you know, people are trying, Ty. They're trying in these trying times. They're trying new things that it's not all just reboots and reruns, which I'm glad we're doing new things.
But why the hell do you think I have this podcast? We're trying new things.
Well, it's great. One thing you mentioned, second best fan podcast, could be the first. Who knows? After this experience, could be number one in my heart. I would say that the there's a true beauty in the fact that people are doing this type of stuff now. Like, the pandemic has kind of thrown people into giving you a little bit more free time at home and made you a little bit more entrepreneurial. I tripped up on that one. I know for a fact myself, I've got my day gig, my day job, which is new now. It's complete. It's no longer posting social clips or doing Stew Gotzes or any of that. It's something else, but also trying new things. Like, I think that's the attitude to have during this thing that has kind of crippled everything else in the world, but it can't cripple the human spirit, right? You gotta try something and do something to stay sane.
So that actually lends me to what was literally going to be my first question, and that was going to be, how have you been filling the Dan Lebatard-sized hole in your heart since they left ESPN? Like, what are you doing to keep busy these days?
I thought the first question would be, am I good, Ty?
Well, that was the first question I asked to David Sampson. So I'm sorry. Let me rewind. Lorenzo, you good?
Oh, I'm good, Ty. Are you good?
I am good. Thank you. We're now 2 for 2 on people asking me if I am good. What a beautiful, generous cast of characters this podcast.
I'm glad I wasn't expecting that question.
So now we're going to re-fast forward. What are you keeping busy with these days?
Besides a baby, Breath of the Wild, and all sorts of day-to-day, the doldrum stuff.
I was hoping you were going to fill out 6 more B's there.
Oh, I'll try. Throughout the span of this podcast, I'll fill in 6 B's.
Okay, perfect.
Challenge.
Baby,
challenge,
Breath of the Wild. We got 2.
Breath of the Wild, baby, that's 2, okay?
I'm marking these
track
down.
For those keeping score at home. No, I'm so once Dan and the crew took off from our shores off to Neverland or wherever they're going to, we have assumed the Greenie show. So the 10 to noon block is still my bread and butter, and someone has to produce that simulcast, and that's been us for the time being. So I've helped also with HQ a little bit, the new iteration of HQ, highly questionable. And you know, just, we're doing that and looking to the future to see whatever that may be.
Is that a little tease?
No, I have something lined up in the future? No, I don't know, but you gotta, as producers, you always have to keep producing. You have to keep thinking what's next. There's trends, there's changes in the industry. For us, the beauty is that while we work with ESPN through our company, through our production company, the world's open. The industry is open now. There's so many places you can go. Podcasts are there, but I hate to break it, Ty. I think there's one too many podcasts out there. So including our podcast, including our whatever's left of the BBB podcast. No, I don't know. It's an interesting time. Certainly a lot of change in more ways than one. And I have a job, which that's the important thing.
Yes.
In today's world, that's something like I'm very big on perspective. And I think we have the key to surviving this thing is having that perspective. Hopefully, if you're listening or you yourself are in a position where you can sustain yourself, you're safe, you're healthy. That's the important one. And everything else comes after that. As long as you have a bed to lay your head in at the end of the day, that's a win for me.
So just to be clear, you are open to new possibilities.
Oh, I always am, matey. Like that was a really bad pirate. I'm not destined for a pirate's life. I'm always, you can't say no to an opportunity if it presents itself. I sure haven't. I was at ESPN in Bristol, and when this opportunity down here in DC presented itself, and I think you always have to have a backup plan too. It's always good to have that. It's a vast open sea out there, and I'm ready to take it on full force. In the meantime, the grass is greeny right now. So,
God, beautiful, well played. So now that you are separated from the Levitard show, can you give us a good story, like a good behind the scenes story about your time working with them? Anything that would be particularly embarrassing to any of the members there?
Oh, why would I do that to them? They're all such fine people.
Embrace the disgrace, Lorenzo.
Let's see, a behind the scenes story. I mean, I don't want to throw anyone else on the bus. I could tell you about a time that I was one of my not so great moments, which was for the Levitard and Friends live show up in New York.
Oh yes, please give us that.
A fantastic milestone for the show, a milestone for me getting to do something like that. A live production. I've always, when I was in high school, I was a thespian. I was in the internet in a thespian society. Love the stage, still do. And the fact that we got to put together something like that with a live audience to feed off of and just something different and new, I thought it was great. So great that the night before the show, I'm excited. We travel up on a train up to New York, get to our hotel, start seeing everybody in the lobby, and one thing leads to another. There's drinks in the lobby. Then there's dinner. And then, everyone scatters around for dinner, comes back to the lobby. Mike Schur is there. I'm trying to pick Mike Schur's brain as a fan of everything that he's related to, SNL, Parks and Rec, The Office, everything. And then little by little, the crowd starts dissipating off to their rooms, getting ready for the big day tomorrow. Right. Wrong. I'm looking around. I'm a night owl, and I'm looking around. I'm like, oh no, we gotta soak this moment in. FOMO. I look around, and one of the few people still around is Chris Cody, and I'm like, Chris, this is Chris Cody's birthday weekend, and I'm like, Chris, we gotta go celebrate your birthday. Come on, you're not going to bed, are you? And he's like, nah, let's go. So then we just start putzing around the streets of New York, and bouncing, bar hopping from one place to another. Thankfully, Chris, to his credit, didn't get as spirited as I did. But we ended up at a karaoke bar, a little dive karaoke bar. And that's my language. They're talking my language when there's karaoke. I'm trying to remember what it was that I ended up, not a good rendition of it. I think I went with something out of left field, because once again, I was inspired. But needless to say, long night. I think I got back to, I went with, up with my wife, who was already in bed. She's in bed usually every night by like 9:30, even on a night like this. And, I get home and just at like, I'd say 2:30, 3-ish, just about. Oof. It was a late night. We didn't, we certainly had fun. And the next day was interesting during the dress rehearsal.
What time was this dress rehearsal?
The rehearsal, if I'm not mistaken, was around 11, 10, 10. No, it was actually, take that back. It was like early, not 9 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken. You can ask Elizabeth Fearman or Charlie Hume the story a little better if you get a chance to talk to them.
Get them on the pod.
But come on down. But yeah, I radiated just debauchery and revelry, and that was not one of my best moments. I had to get a really cold shower running in the morning just to get up and get my soul back in my body and go. But thankfully, by showtime, though, as a true performer, ready to go.
It is amazing that you managed to be the debaucherous one in a cast that included Stu Gatz, Chris Cody, and Greg Cody. That is impressive.
I mean, I don't know if they got into any trouble themselves, but everyone kind of at one point just dispersed and went to their own. Like Billy was the one that I was like, Billy, let's go. We got to go out. Charlie, let's go. I'm trying to get everyone on board to do something. Enjoy this moment that we have here in New York, and Billy, of course, is like, no, I'm going to bed. So Billy's an old man. He doesn't fool anybody. He's very much an old person, a 50-year-old man in that body. And he was just like, I'm going to bed. I'm like, but Billy, we're in New York, the city that never sleeps. I couldn't as best try as I may. I could not, coax him into joining us, but yeah, it's true. The others didn't. I mean, everyone's married. Everyone's married, has kids. They are also, some of them are somewhat responsible.
No,
I like to think that I'm responsible as well. But you got to enjoy the moment. You're not in New York every day to put on a live show with everyone from the show. So I just want to, you know, enjoy, seize that moment. And all in all, it was phenomenal. It was great to meet people, fans of the show. Meet people that would normally come through Miami that I had never met in person. So like I had never met Katie in person. She was there. Who else? Mike Schur, obviously, was Mike Schur. I mean, I can't say enough about Mike Schur. I've enjoyed every piece of work that he's put out. So just these little moments, I wanted to just seize them, so much so that I got incredibly drunk and hung over the next day to really soak it in.
Well, New York is the city that never sleeps, right? That's its nickname. So it would be borderline irresponsible to go up there and get a full night's rest.
Thank you. That's what I said.
And you were talking about Billy and that, you know, he wouldn't go out with you. And I want to ask you a question about Billy, a really, really interesting development, I think, from this whole pirate ship phase, is how fucking good Billy is at Cameo. Have you been watching all these cameos unfold? And like,
have I? I've been a part of one. I didn't even know that I was going to be part of it.
Oh, and I must have missed that. What happened there?
It was yesterday, I think, someone posted it today. It was intended for Allison, and he couldn't get Allison on it, and instead he got me to talk about Allison. And I mean, I think the key to Cameo is just be yourself and also just have fun with it. I mean, there's some people that make millions, Kevin from The Office, that do just that. Or I've seen some that are really just, they don't live up to the price tag. Yeah. Not our guys. Ours seem to be good. But I think the key with Billy is that, you can't, he shares the same belief in life, I think, that I do, which is you can't take life seriously. If you don't have your laughs on life, life is going to have a laugh on you. So you gotta, you know, you have this platform, you have the ability, you have people paying you money for 30 seconds or more. Give them their money's worth and give them a laugh. Like that's the key, I think. And yeah. Billy provides that.
If ever presented the opportunity, do you think you would thrive on Cameo?
Absolutely. But I don't think I don't want to go down the Cameo route because one, I don't have time for that. Can I curse? We're not going to curse. No filth, foreign filth. No, I don't have time for that. I have already enough little time as it is. And from what I hear, it's like, well, we saw what happened with Stu Gatz they just piled up. But I imagine that was going to happen regardless. The demand for Stu Gatz was going to be too great. What am I going to charge, Ty? $5, $3, and then Cameo gets their cut? No.
Listen, you're gonna end up going the Stu Gatz route. If you ever end up on Cameo, you're gonna price yourself too low. You're gonna be inundated because people want the Lorenzo experience, and then all of a sudden you're gonna be backlogged with 300 of them.
And plus 30 seconds or whatever the time limit is. I don't think there is.
I don't think there is a time limit, which I think is the big problem for you.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's a brevity. It's not in my vocabulary. It's not in my. That's gonna be bad. That's gonna end up bad. You're gonna get a 30-minute monologue from me just to get to happy birthday, Ashley.
Which honestly I think might work in your favor. If you price that thing at maybe like $500 to $1,000, you only get one or two of them here and there, but the ones that you do, they're just chef's kiss, masterpiece.
I hope. I mean I'd certainly throw in some props. You gotta you know, jazz it up a little bit. You can't just be you talking into a camera. You gotta have some effects. I'm all about overproduction. It hides the lack of preparation.
Okay, so I want to ask Lorenzo then, from one producer to another, how would you overproduce this podcast? How would you overproduce this interview right now?
Sound effects are a must. Like, is it the zanier the better? Like,
I have air horns that I pepper in throughout every episode.
Like the reggaeton horns.
Yeah,
those are good.
That's a transition from every segment.
If there's like a story time, maybe you have like a sparkly wind chime, not wind chime, but like pixie magic, something like that.
Disney-esque sounding.
Yeah, because we're going back. Or like a dream, the dream swirl. You gotta get a theme song.
I have a theme song.
You have a theme song?
I have a theme song.
wait a minute, I didn't hear it. I heard the Samson podcast. I didn't hear theme song.
You didn't hear the intro music? I mean, I guess that's technically not a theme song, but it's intro music. I paid for it. Yeah. It's legitimate.
You're right. No. But you gotta get lyrics. You gotta get a whole, like, everyone remembers the good sitcom theme songs because you remember the lyrics. You remember Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, you remember Cheers. You remember good jingles. You gotta get a catchy sitcom-esque intro, I think.
Theme. Well, I am not a lyricist, so if you have a good one, I'm willing to outsource the work.
Listen, if anything has shown in the last year or so, there's a whole plethora of very talented fans of the show, a community that has talents, musical talents, way beyond that of our own. I mean, I go immediately to guys like Yeti Blanc, and Andrew Streeter, who
friends of the show,
who do fantastic work. There's people out there, and if all else fails, just pick up a kazoo and just have at it.
Do you have the kazoo on you right now? Actually?
I'm actually in the guest room. I've been banished to our guest room because the missus is working her real job. As opposed to my make-believe TV job, she always loves to chide me because of I would be researching things, I don't know, like bees or whatever, like actual bees, bee facts, for the BBBBB podcast. There's bees. That's a third one, like actual honeybees. That's a third bee. And so she's downstairs in my like actual setup. I love that little plush bee that you have.
That
there.
Is a literal bee.
That is an actual. That's still part of the third bee. Yeah, we're not going to count it as a fourth. The kazoos are down there. My mom got the baby a xylophone, so I was trying to incorporate that in some way. There was towards the end. Lookout Weekend. I had pitched before. This was before the big announcement of Parting Ways. I was like, Mike, I think I'm going to try to do Lookout Weekend on baby instruments. I know I've stolen that bit from Jimmy Fallon, who I'm not a huge fan, but everyone's done one bit one way or another. So I thought the way Chris handled it, though, was far better than what I would have produced.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, the kazoo is a classic. It's a timeless instrument, and your rendition of it, sir. Bravo to you. It is
thank you, beautiful. Thank you. It was either that or the recorder or a triangle or a tambourine. Another gift I got the baby got was a bag of musical instruments from my mom, musically inclined woman. It's got like a maracas and tambourines and I did buy a mouth harp. Never got that one down.
What is a mouth harp?
You're not aware of the mouth harp.
I'm not musically inclined in any way.
Do you remember the old Peanuts cartoons? Like the little thing that Snoopy would play on his mouth that sounded like a spring. Like boing, boing, boing. Well, look it up.
I'm going to have to mouth harp.
I don't want to say it's strictly a Southern instrument, but
It sounds southern.
Yeah, you hear it like in a. It would certainly be in a jug band. Like,
okay.
Like the Country Bears probably had it in their list of instruments.
Next to the one playing the washboard and blowing into jug. Yeah. Oh man. You had referenced you've referenced 3Bs so far, but I want to talk about BBBBBB. How are you coping with the loss of that? And that and ESPN's number one challenge podcast, because it's a bummer to not have those around anymore. And I have to imagine it's pretty tough on you guys, because towards the end there I could tell there was a lot of emotions going through. It seemed like an emotional thing that the band was breaking up there.
Well, the band still hasn't. It's still together. We just don't perform as much. There's no stage to perform. No, we've gotten together since, and just the great thing about the podcast, the BBBBB, I think that's. I always have to check, do the math, to count it in my mind. The great thing about the podcast is that we we got to a point where it was just, it was a fun moment in a hectic year for us to get together and just be ourselves, be goofballs, talk about, have a parody saw, give out recipes, talk about our dogs and Peloton and all the mundane things that somehow, and I'm truly grateful for this, people appreciated and enjoyed. Some people enjoyed. We never got the numbers, but there were some of you that enjoyed the mess that was, and I'm happy and glad that brought some joy to others, because it certainly did to us. And I think that's we joked about there being too many podcasts, but I think the great thing about this medium is that for the most part, the good ones are authentic. They're good, sincere conversations, and that's always going to show in anything. I think even in television, even more so. Like you got, I worked with Tony and Mike, and that's authentic friendship, and that translates to on-air success. And I think for podcasts and for anything you do, you have to find the thing that really the passion that brings you to it, and hopefully massage it, mold it, make it into something that people are gonna find some enjoyment and hopefully some enlightenment. I think that's the sweet spot. You gotta have some fun, make me laugh, and teach me something. That's always the at least that's the Venn diagram I work with in production.
I like that. I like that. So one quick follow-up on that last one. Since you are no longer doing a challenge podcast, you have completely ceased watching The Challenge, correct?
How'd you? What? No, The Challenge is great. It's the fifth. It's America's fifth sport. I knew of The Challenge back in high school when it was at its peak. When
it was Real World Road Rule Challenge, probably.
That's right. That's correct. And I remember Billy and Charlie Kravitz were the first ones talking about the challenge, to do something incorporating The Challenge into a podcast. And I was like, guys, there's podcasts about the Bachelor, and there's podcasts for every show. And is The Challenge really the one to go after? But once again, what did I know? Passion. Everyone had a passion for The Challenge. Everyone except me. I just kind of, it was infectious though, because my wife and I were like, there wasn't much going on. I think the NBA was still on hold. They were trying to figure out the bubble. All the other sports were on hold. So it was something to watch. These guys were really into it, so it kind of rubbed off on me. I saw the last season. This season, it's been hit or miss. Like I come in and out, and it's an interesting premise, but I don't know. I like my reality TV shows to a certain degree. I like meatier stuff. I'm watching. We started Bridgerton, which is like the big thing now. Everyone was talking about it, so like let's check out this horny British show. And we've been watching, I've been tearing up HBO Max. HBO Max has such great offerings. Go get HBO Max or actually give us, hopefully HBO Max is hearing.
And yeah, HBO Max, sponsor us. Give me free stuff.
That's right. I don't need an account, but it'd be nice.
Just a password, honestly, would be great.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just, I enjoyed, I was very much an MTV kid. I grew up on MTV, TRL, the Tom Green Show, even and Beavis and Butthead, and the music
Beavis
videos.
And Butthead?
Beavis and Butthead, that's two. Yes.
Does that count as two? Come on, that's a tie.
Let's do one. Let's do one. Yeah, no, let's challenge ourselves here, Ty. That's four now by my count. Babies.
Breath of the Wild, Bees.
Breath of the Wild, and Beavis and Butthead. All right, we're moving right along. But yeah, MTV is it doesn't look anything like it used to.
No.
They've they've turned that network into like the ridiculousness network.
Oh yeah.
In fact, I think every time I've tuned in when it's not the challenge, it's always fucking Rob Diedrich just laughing with what's her face? Chanel West Coast. Is that her name?
Look at this dumbass himself in the balls with a tractor. Yeah.
And listen, I love a good junk shot video.
Well, who doesn't?
But that's all they do. They don't add to it. Give me something like Tosh.0 did the whole viral video thing right. He took what The Soup did and made it even better. I think. Well, The Soup also had show clips, but he basically turned The Soup into did the internet version of The Soup. I guess
he made it. He made it Reddit before Reddit.
Yes. Well, Reddit was around back then. It was it's a much more different place. It was a much different place back then.
Less toxic, nicer. Arguably.
Yeah, I've been around. So I think I celebrated my 10th cake day the other day.
Oh my God, really? Wow.
That's impressive. In December at some point, I celebrated 10 years and I was like, damn, I've been on this damn website for a decade. And it certainly has changed, I think.
Now I need to look up. I'm looking up how long I've been on Reddit right now. Let's see.
It's a mind bleep. I looked at Twitter I've been on for way too long as well.
9 years on Reddit.
Look at that. They've gone by so fast. I was talking
time wasted.
But having fun and that's not time wasted if you're having fun. I was talking to a friend the other day and I'm like, I remember Secret Santa, which they still do, but it just felt a little bit more authentic and wholesome. And now it's just this big monster of a website that has all sorts of people. Like I was reading up on the I don't know if you've seen what they're doing with GameStop.
Dude, don't even get me started on that. It is.
Wait, did you get in on this?
No, I am not in on it, but I am someone who is playing around in Robinhood and has, mm-hmm. I don't want to toot my own horn here, but I may be low-key a genius investor. I have flipped $20 into almost $200 in almost 5 years.
How about that? How about quite the profit there. It's a great community and a great tool, but in the wrong hands, don't get me started on what our little part of the internet has done to its moderator. I don't know what I haven't stepped too much into that, but man, that was like Lord of the Flies over there.
I'm staying out of that one. I have the unpopular opinion on that.
I'm too. Me too. You know what? I think we can all agree. But yeah, I think everyone and not just so much there, but in general, like. We gotta take it down a notch. Like, let's not all rush to get pitchforks and go for blood for people. I think that like we've done enough of that on a national scale. Let's tone it down some.
All right, I'm going to ask the question I was going to ask about. What was DC like on the 6th? Move right along from that.
It's just I couldn't tell you because I was just I hunkered down at home. We've been going into the office every day. I've been going in since now October, I'd like to say. October was around the time. And I know I skipped September there for some reason.
It's all good. Trash month.
The whole year has been it just melds into one thing. But we've been going back for a few months and we knew, I knew something had to have happened. It was going to happen. Didn't think it was going to be that one. Never in my wildest dreams did I think it was going to be that one or nightmares. It was scary. It was crazy. It was embarrassing. It was a little bit of all that and more. We then got told, hey, the powers that be were like, just we're closing ABC News. We're closing it down. Obviously a place like that would be something, a target would be a point of interest for people wanting to stir up some trouble. So we stayed home. We did our shows remotely. I helped with the at that point, the Greeny simulcast, whatever way I could from home, but it's that show. You can't execute it from a remote. So Bristol took over for those days, but it's just in general, it's just it was alarming and just sad to see such an event, because like I'm a Miami boy. I'm born and raised there, 305 till I die. But DC has become now my home. And for right now, like we have a house here, not directly in DC, but in the outskirts, in Maryland. But I still consider the DMV area my home. And down there, like our office is like three blocks away from the White House.
Oh, it's so, that close. I didn't know that was the proximity of it.
Yeah, we are right there in downtown. And on another day, in another set of circumstances, like I will on a summer day, I'll bring my running clothes and I'll run from our office down to the mall and run around all the Smithsonian's and Capitol Hill and the Lincoln Memorial, the monuments. And it's beautiful. It's just like I'm a huge fan of history. And just to be around that at a place that is such an important world city, I thought it was such a blessing. And then just to see it in the last few days and weeks become this, like, I hyperbolically said it looked like East Berlin, but it was getting there. There are fences put up everywhere. There are National Guardsmen like a block, literally a block away from our office. Boom, there's a barricade set up, closing off the White House, the mall, and that whole area from automobile access and just people. And it was just it's sad. The stores were boarded up. It felt like a hurricane. That's the closest thing that I could compare it to coming from Florida, where we board up our windows and all that. But it just felt like a ghost town, and I don't want that for my city. I don't want it for anyone's city. That's not what we signed up for as Americans. And I know it's not. I'm not naive enough to know that it's going to be just like a turn of the page and hey, new president, new administration, boom, we're out of this. No. It's still gonna. It's gonna take some time. I think the things we saw on the 6th are fundamental issues that like are wrong with parts of America, and I don't know how we're gonna address that. I think that I mean, the cynical person in me would say a war is something that would bring together the country as together. Not a. I worry about a civil war. That could very well happen down the line, but if I'm thinking about an event that would bring these two sides together, I don't know what that could be right now, because it doesn't help that also that everyone's getting hearing the things they want to hear in an echo chamber, and misinformation is so rampant. I see it with like people back home in Florida, like the reason that Trump won down there is my people, the Venezuelans, like everyone, they threw out the S word and automatically, or the C word rather. And everyone's like, oh no, no, we can't vote for Biden, 'cause he's going to send us back to, he's going to turn us into our home country, or into our old, we've seen this before, was a lot that was being said down there. And how do you fight that? I'm never saying never, but America knows what communism looks like. We fought it for many years against the USSR. We see how it looks, and to say that we're going to go down that route, I think is a little extreme. There's going to be socialist ideas or policies that could trickle in, but nowhere near what communism is, the corrupt form of communism. And instead, we are seeing like baby fascism here, and that's scary, and that people just put that aside and believed what they wanted to believe, and it was reinforced by what they were consuming. And yeah, that's we went down a really dark hole. I'm sorry, Ty. You open up that Pandora's box, and that's something that I mean, in my later years, I've become a pessimist, because that's what my wife says. I consider myself an optimist, but in reality, though, the last year and a half, it's been some dark, gloomy shit. maybe more than a year and a half. It's been more, it's been coming for a while now. We've had these issues in this country before President Trump, and now it's just kind of almost been normalized. So that's the scary part.
Yeah. Well, we're already down one dark hole, so I would like to go down another and talk about pooping.
Cool. All the holes.
Speaking of dark holes. So you went on Lauer After Hours, and you shared a story about how middle school you pooped yourself. And
I mean, all the cool kids my age pooped their pants.
Well, and where I was going with that is that, Lorenzo, it was at that time that I felt a kindred connection to you. Because I am a person who has a sordid history with pooping and pooping experiences. And so, if you have any additional pooping stories, I would be willing to exchange one of mine for a new one of yours that is exclusive.
So a quid pro poop?
Yeah, let's go with that. Quid poop crow?
Quid poop quo, I think. Yeah, that's better.
So do you have another embarrassing poop story?
As far as like, I mean, everyone's had the sharts. Everyone's had the fart that is more than a fart. To varying degrees. I don't know. It happened one time in a mall. Happened one time at Dayland Mall where it was just a Dayland Mall, great mall in Florida, in Miami, South Miami, South Florida. Also the scene of a violent drug shootout. If you've ever seen Cocaine Cowboys, Billy Corbin's great documentary about the 80s drug trade in Miami, Dayland Mall was the site of a very vicious shootout. Now much different, nicer mall.
Different shootout than what you're discussing.
Very. I mean, it's the shark situation. Thought it was a simple one that could go, and you know what? Maybe the good Lord tried to teach me something. Don't go running off crop dusting all willy nilly at Dayland Mall, because that's not very considerate to your fellow man. Yeah, it was a lot more than what I thought I was bargaining for, and I instantly bolted to the first bathroom that I could find, bathroom stall, and I did the duck waddle as it started just running down, and I had shorts on.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, it's Florida, so it's a summer day in Florida. You're gonna have shorts. You're not counting for the shits also. I think I left my soiled underwear somewhere in a trash can, and cleaned up as best as I could, and went to Macy's and got myself another pair of underwear and got the hell out of that mall, because at that point your day is over, your shopping experience is over after that one. I'd say those are the two big moments in shitting history, public shit history for me.
Okay, so because you were generous enough to do that, I'm going to give you an option. I have two go-to stories here.
Oh joy!
That I have been known to recite at parties and around friends.
Why did I become the shit guy?
You opened
Dan
it up.
Dan said his shit story one time, and
share a shit story with him if he were here too. Let's make it happen, buddy.
Which, once again, just proves my point. Everyone's done this.
Exactly.
I can't stand the people like, you shit your pants. Everyone has shat their pants well past the toddler stage. At one point or another, it's happened. Don't try to fool me or the rest of society into thinking your bowels are flawless. No.
You people with your flawless bowels, get over yourselves, as Chris Cody would say. But I'm going to give you a choice between the two stories.
What are the settings?
So the first has to do with your neck of the woods. It involves a high school trip up to DC.
Oh, was it close up?
Yes, it was. It was like within. So there's that one. Or the second one is more similar to your two experiences at track practice.
Hmm. track practice, I can see where that would happen. I'm going with the first one. When you visit a defined District of Columbia.
You pick the best one.
Of course, because if you're out exercising, or that's too easy. I want a just out of the blue, out of the poo story.
Okay, so I should preface this. This is not a story about me shitting my pants, but it is a tragic pooping story. So I just want to put that.
I'll allow it.
Okay, so let me set the stage. I am a senior in high school, and I am going on a field trip, like a long bus field trip, like a Greyhound, up to Washington, D.C. for the day. So it's about a 3.5-4 hour bus trip. So on the way up, do you remember, you're a gamer, do you remember the PlayStation Portable, the little PSP?
Absolutely, handheld? The PSP.
Yes. Yep, mm-hmm. So I had that thing at that time, and I was enamored.
Great system.
Fantastic. And so for this trip, I was like, listen, I'm going to be on a bus for 8 hours. I got to buy a new game for this thing. So I go to GameStop. I think it was a Resistance game, something like that. And so I'm playing it on the way up. And I don't know why, but just the whole day, my stomach is just not feeling right.
The bubble guts.
Yeah. I like that phrase, bubble guts. So I've got the bubble guts all day, and it is a super hot day up in D.C., so I'm sweating profusely. I've got this friend who has latched himself onto me for the duration of this trip. I have no idea why, but he just decided, like, hey, I'm going to hang out with you literally all day. And so what that resulted in is us eating at this same random cafe on three separate occasions for like the 5 hours or 6 hours that we were actually in DC proper. I don't know what was happening in that cafe, but it did not help the bubble guts anymore. So flash forward, we are now nighttime, and I'm on this bus. And there it is. It is bubbling. It is about to explode.
It's brewing. It's ready to burn. Oh, no.
Yeah. And so I take myself and I go back to the Greyhound bus into the bathroom and I sit down. Now,
wait, did you take the PSP with you?
Well, here's where it gets tragic. I am the type of person who, how do I say this? I'm a slow shitter. I take a long, long time.
It's a process. Unless your body tells you otherwise, it's like, my wife hates this because I'll just like, and later on in life, I don't know if you have kids, Di, or that's in the that's something.
We're working on it.
Eventually you're going to need your bathroom breaks. That's important. And my wife has always given me crap for, she's giving me trouble for how long I take him in there, but it's not always shits. But yes, I get the slow shit part. You also want to take some reading material with you.
Yeah, exactly.
A nice little moment to catch up on things. Scrolling.
I've had a long day of walking. I'm tired. I just want to sit on the toilet, just free my bowels, play my brand new video game. So I'm probably in there for, if I had to guess, like 20 to 25 minutes. So I'm in there for
not that bad.
A while. And you know what? No one else is going to use the Greyhound bus because it's a Greyhound bus. No one wants to use that thing. I'm going to be that guy. Whatever. I'm going to take my time.
People are on the bus at, you're riding, you're moving.
Yeah, we are on the way back to the high school. So the entire group of probably about like 50 or 60 kids is on this. So I have finished my business at this point. And you know the little toilet paper holder? You know, it has the little flat surface on the top. I'm like, all right, I'm going to set my PSP on top of that.
Mm.
I'm going to go down so I can pull my pants up.
Mm-mm.
And as I am in audio medium, no one can see this, I am like squatting down to pull my pants up.
The bus
accelerates.
Oh.
And all of a sudden the PSP just whoosh, right off the top of that toilet paper dispenser. And I just hear the most defeating
bloop
in my life. And I look back and all I see in this dark Greyhound bathroom is this ambient blue glow coming from the bottom of this toilet, this disgusting septic tank that is now filled.
The Resistance pause screen is just staring back at you in a sea of crap.
It's filled with nothing but the remnants of this cafe's sandwiches, which I've eaten three times. And so, Lorenzo, I have to
save it. You got to save it. You got
to
save it.
Decision to make. Do I save it?
And have a poopy PSP.
Or do I cut my losses here? and I thought it over for longer than I would care to admit, but I had to cut my losses. We're talking like 2.5 hours left on this bus ride. I cannot take this PSP out of the toilet and have it just sitting there for 2.5 hours.
And it wouldn't be just shit smell. It would have that, like, that blue, whatever that blue liquid is that is inside. Whatever that is, that disinfectant, whatever Tide bleached water that is, chemical that
mixed with piss and shit and puke or whatever.
Yeah, you're right.
It's so much. So I had to let it go.
It's not worth it. That's sad. The PSP was such a great system.
And here's the part that I did not account for. And it compounds it and makes everything so much worse. Is when I opened the door to the bathroom finally after what had to have been like 30 minutes. The entire bus is turning around facing me and is applauding. Just bravo. Because, as I've hypothesized since then, I believe what they heard was a loud-ass thunk in the bathroom. And every single one of my peers thought I just took the most heroic shit in the history of shit.
An iron turd.
On the back of that Greyhound bus. And so I make what felt like the longest walk back up to my seat. And the guy
You have to own it at that point, Ty.
Dude, I am leaking so much confidence. The shame is pouring out of me. I sit down in my seat, and the guy that was hanging out with me the whole day, he just looks to me and he goes, "Where's your PSP?" And I die.
It's in the P.
I remember nothing else. The P in PSV stands for piss and poop. That's where it is. And that is one of my dubious pooping stories. How would you rate that on?
Ooh,
on
that's a good one.
On a scale of 1 to 2.
2 being the highest, of course.
Yes, of course.
But yeah, that's a 2. That's
perfect.
A 2. I'm proud of you for cutting your losses.
You seem like you would have gone back and fished it out.
I don't know if I it depends. Like, I think I'm not reaching in there. Hell no, I'm not reaching in there.
So
I'm too much of a germaphobe to do that. I'd try to, like, MacGyver it. There had to have been, maybe there's, or they got to flush that thing out eventually, don't they?
I don't know.
I don't know
how a Greyhound, I just kind of
everyone empties out the bus and you go, "Hey, Mr. Greyhound driver, Mr. or Mrs. Greyhound driver, hey, I think I dropped my watch. My girlfriend's ring fell in there. My promise ring. I need to get it." And just, I would inquire about that. I don't know if I'm not reaching in there, but yeah, you know what? Maybe the PSP's destiny was to end up at the bottom of a Greyhound shit receptacle.
I mean, listen, I'm not going to lie. When drinks are flowing, I've gotten a lot of legs out of that story in public settings. So I'm not going to say it was a complete loss. And now here on the podcast, I'm putting it more to use. It's kind of like an in memoriam type thing. This is how I remember its existence. It gave me some great hours, and this is how I memorialize it in my own special way.
So you got back and you had all these games and no system to play it.
Yeah, that's about right. I never went back and bought another PSP. Oddly enough, my mom and dad never really asked me, "Hey, why did you randomly stop buying or playing the PSP?
Oh, they
what
just,
happened to that
they
thing
just,
that we bought you?"
Yeah, they just buy it and don't care anymore. As long as it keeps you quiet, they forget all about it.
Yeah.
Poor PSP.
Yeah, pour one out for the PSV, man. Well, I think that's about a good place to end it.
Wait, we're ending on the poop stories?
Would you like? I have more topics. Would you like me to keep going?
Yeah, let's not end on a shit note. Let's.
Oh, that's right. Actually, I do have a couple more things. So we're gonna edit that part out. Seamless transition. That's definitely not going to be edited out.
What could be that sound effect? Or maybe like a sting, like a da 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 da. Or something, I don't know, something to, you know, jazz up the production.
I think that's probably where my air horns would go in my typical
air
production.
Horns. I'm thinking like Jeopardy. You know how Jeopardy, the double Jeopardy or the daily double, something like that. Like
gotcha. This is going to be the most overly produced thing I've ever done. Okay.
Maybe they were the best thing you've ever done.
Well, I have literally won a broadcasting award, so I don't know if it's gonna
Wait, what?
Yeah,
You gotta share with the class. What is this award for?
It may
for?
Not sound like it, but I have legitimate broadcasting credentials. I have an award somewhere, I think downstairs, from the Virginia Association of Broadcasters for a story I did, a radio production that I did about a charity that is housing victims of sex trafficking in the Hampton Roads region.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Ty, see, you've actually done some legitimate journalistic work. I came in to journalism with noble intentions. I wanted to do print. That's why, I mean, Dan was a big inspiration for that. Never got into print because we all saw what print was becoming. And as much as I would have loved to, I still had more. My heart was in television, and never got into the hard hitting journalism that I wanted to do. But here you are. You actually did something of that shone a light onto the injustices in the world. So big ups to you, man.
Well, it was funny how that all came about, because it was not something that I sought out. It was something that was just kind of handed to me, because honestly, it was like a sponsored thing. Mm-hmm. Someone, basically like a local business, was paying to have this charity highlighted, and it was like, Ty, can you take this? And I'm like, okay, sure. And as I got into the interview, I started, like, I had very little preparation done for this thing, full disclosure. And as we got into it, it was just kind of like, oh no, there's something here. And by the time I had edited it and cut it up into like an hour long thing, it was like, I need to do something with this. Like, this needs to actually be submitted. And it was a really cool feeling when one of the radio DJs that I started my career interning for in a different market, he had moved stations to another big station in Virginia Beach. And as I'm walking up to accept this award, he's at one of the tables and we kind of like see each other and acknowledge each other. He's like, oh my God, it's you. I'm like, oh my God, this is happening. And so that was kind of cool to have that development. But this is all very narcissistic. I don't want to...
No. This is the conversation, Ty. You find out about me, I find out about you. Well, and it's just us. It's just us sharing poop stories and past accolades. So wait a minute. You come from a radio background.
I do, yes. That is pretty much how I made all my money in college. I was working overnight shifts, 12 to 6 a.m. on weekends at a top 40 radio station. I was working.
That's the fun shift.
Yeah, I was working.
Did you take calls?
Yeah, that's the only way you can pass the time, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And dude, you get some strange calls when you're working that graveyard shift.
Those are the great calls. Those are the real people you want to talk to, man. Not the day to day, not the stay at homers or. Or the stay-at-home moms or dads. Like, you want the unemployed, you want like the late night drivers and truckers and the people who are just up at that time are just a different breed. So
that's what I was shooting for, and it was all fun and games until a group of them came to the studio and were like banging on the glass windows trying to get in, and the police had to be called. That was
wow.
That's where it stopped being fun and started being like, I gotta be a little careful about this. How much fun I'm having with this.
Was that, wait, did they just show up because of a giveaway or what?
No, it was one of those things. Like, I was very talkative on the air because I need something to pass the time. Especially if I voice tracked a section of the evening, like the 3 to 6 part. So pretty much live from like 1 to 2 or something like that. So I'll be really active in those areas. And it's people at the bars who call up the radio station. They're requesting a song. I'm having some fun. We're bantering, little jib jab back and forth. And all of a sudden they're thinking like, hey, we can like be friends with this guy. How cool would it
just
be if we
just like airheads to show up and
yeah. How cool would it be?
Take over the radio station.
Yeah. What if we come on the air with you? And I'm like, aha, that's crazy, guys. All right. Have a good night. And then they show up and they really want into the station. And, you know, at that hour, you're the only one there. And that's a little creepy.
The joys of radio.
I think the best was when I was working production for a small series of Fox Sports stations in Radford, Virginia, right across from what I'm pretty sure was a legitimate crack hotel. That was fun. Seeing the dude busing himself to and from this hotel on a little moped, carrying what I'm sure is just unbelievable amounts of cocaine. Because every single day he's back and forth to and from that motel multiple times a day.
A little duffel bag.
Like he had one of those little, I don't even know. It's kind of like a little moped trunk almost. Like it's a.
Oh yeah. The little canisters, the little shells in
the
back.
Yeah, yep. So he's got those, and it's covered up, and yeah, just to and from multiple
times.
Yeah,
that's loaded with booger sugar, for sure.
Yeah, so that was fun. That was not the safest environment to work in. But anyway, that's a long roundabout way of getting back to the question that I wanted to ask. So I saw your good friend, Allison Turner, post something on Twitter today.
Love Allison. Wait, did she see the cameo? Is that what it was?
No. This is not cameo related.
Okay.
She posted something about everything bagel flavored ice cream.
Oh yeah, I did see this. Yes. I think she directed it to Mina.
I don't really have a question so much as I haven't had a chance to talk to anybody about this yet. So Lorenzo, what the hell?
I wouldn't question Allison's gastronomical palate per se. She's had some pretty good suggestions. She's the one that got me onto Tate's cookies, chocolate chip cookies.
Unfamiliar.
Tate's are they're really thin and crispy chocolate chip cookies, but they're up there. They're really top notch cookies that you can buy at your grocery store. I got them at Costco. I didn't want to, and Costco lined up a whole wall of them right at the register. So of course, naturally, it's like 48 cookies, but which I shouldn't be buying. I'm still trying to put off the baby weight from July.
Your baby weight.
I put on some pounds in solidarity with my wife.
That's good of you.
So I got the Tate cookies. What else has she put me onto? She's usually like. Her governor on food, it's pretty good. So I don't know. I saw the same thing as you. This everything bagel ice cream, it is Jenny's. Jenny's makes some top notch ice cream. So I got to think that it's good.
I mean, I don't know. Like I'm
cream
I'm
so cheese ice cream with everything bagel gravel. So wait, are we talking like salt pepper? Salt, I can see in ice cream. Pepper, not so much. What else is on everything bagel?
You've got the sesame seeds, I think.
Sesame seeds. That's
poppy,
not that bad.
Poppy seeds, maybe?
Poppy.
Yeah.
Poppy.
Yeah, I don't know. See, I'm a late adopter to
I'd give it a chance. Really? I'd give it a shot. Yeah,
I'm such a late adopter to the everything bagel. Like, it literally took me till this year. I'm 29 years old. Had never had an everything bagel before.
I was the same. I was very plain until like maybe 2 or 3 years ago when I started doing everything bagel.
My God, how do you go back? It's just so good. Now I'm buying the everything seasoning and I'm putting it on eggs because it just makes everything taste better. It's so good.
Because it's everything. It's everything you didn't know you needed.
But yeah, I had to get that off my chest because to me that looked strange as hell, but you seem into it.
We should find... We'll track down and we'll do a little experiment, find the Jenny's ice cream, try it. And, we'll share our results, share our findings. I'm going to try it. I'm curious about it.
It's
intriguing.
Can we get you back on this podcast to do a taste test of the Jenny's everything bagel?
We can do that. We can spin that.
Perfect.
Let's do it.
Just gonna go ahead and mark that.
Can't do another full episode, Ty, but. For sure, we could do a taste test.
I'll take it. Alrighty. And then lastly, and you opened with this when we brought it in, and you know, I'm just...
Oh, wait, have we met all our... bagels, that's a fifth one.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Everything bagels.
And I have I have the 6B right here. So, you asked me... If I had a Six Flags down where I am, and I said no, I have a Busch Gardens B right there.
Yes, ding, 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 we did it.
And
so proud of us.
I would like to know, Lorenzo, are you a thrill seeker? Are you a ride guy?
Me? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Busch Gardens is very, I mean, in the world of theme parks, amusement parks, Busch Gardens, I think, doesn't get the fair shake that it deserves, but it's up there. Like, if you think about it, you got your Disney Worlds, you got your Universal Studios. Some people throw out Six Flags before they throw out Busch Gardens. Six Flags. Mm. I went to the Six Flags. What is it? Williamsburg? Not Williamsburg. The one up in Massachusetts. I'm trying to remember whatever. Up in the Northeast, there's Six Flags, and I just felt it was like it was a poor man's Busch Gardens.
Yeah.
Busch Gardens. Not only do you have the beer, the Anheuser-Busch beer, all over the place. They usually have Clydesdales, at least in the Tampa Bay one, they had Clydesdales.
We occasionally have them here, yeah.
Yep. That brings me joy. You never see Clydesdales galloping down the street other than like on a parade or something. And the roller coasters are amazing. They're fantastic. Like you have Six Flags has some pretty good ones. You got like the Superman at Great Escape, Six Flags, or Great Adventure. That's what it's called. They all have like, I'm trying to remember the names of them, but you've got, and the Tampa Bay Busch Gardens has Quasi. It's got Montu. It's got, what's the other one? The wooden roller coaster one. Is that Quasi? I remember that Montu was probably one of the best roller coasters I've been on. It's suspended. It goes in through tunnels and I'm a big fan of Busch Gardens.
So I would like to offer up an invitation. If you're ever venturing down to Busch Gardens Williamsburg, I am a pass holder. I can get you in. And we can let you on all the dope-ass rides that we have down here.
Wait, what do you guys got at Williamsburg? This isn't very enticing, don't get me wrong. I'm curious now as to what there is, what offering. Oh, here we go. It's the
Busch Gardens.
I got to put in Busch.
Busch Gardens Williamsburg is consistently voted the most beautiful theme park in America. It is absolutely gorgeous. It is based off of various European countries. So you have England.
Ooh, they have Le Catapult.
That's not a great ride. That's a little kiddie ride, yeah.
Oh, Der Autobahn. That's in their German area, German themed area. And then there's a Der Autobahn Junior for the tykes.
So your top rides there are going to be your, what's that face? What's that face you're making?
The Alpengeist.
Okay, Alpengeist is my least favorite of the rides there just because it's a rough ride. It is a really, really rough ride.
Those are the best kinds of roller coasters, the ones that like you feel like you're going to fly off.
Then you will love Alpengeist.
Yeah, that's what I want. Like the wooden roller coasters, I'm seeing here Invader.
Invader is one of my favorite. That's such a fun, fast little wooden coaster.
Yeah, wooden roller coasters are great because they're just like the clickety clack, the feeling that you get that you're just gonna like fly off this thing because it's wooden. It's not. You feel like it's not as secure as the other ones. There has to be a certain level of fear. That's why they're thrill rides.
I would say Griffin is one of my personal favorites, and this is one where you're
Le Catapult is basically. Sorry, I was just, I'm going through the whole page, Le Catapult is the age old. I call it the Grease ride.
Yeah,
from the movie Grease that it just spins around,
flings you in and out.
Yeah, I forgot what the name of that one is. Back home, but
you need to look up here. Griffin.
Oh wow, look at this! It's temporarily closed.
Well, yeah, there is a bunch of COVID restrictions right now still at the park. So it's going to have to be once all this blows over. But Griffin's cool thing is it takes you up on this super, super high hill that overlooks the whole park. It takes you flat around a bend, and then it starts to drop you, but it stops you. And so you're just staring over what I think is like a 100-foot drop or something like that, bigger
than
that.
And it's floorless.
Yeah, and it's a floorless coaster, and then it just drops you into this massive inverted loop. It is so cool. And we have a famous roller coaster called Apollo's Chariot, which has the famous distinction of being the roller coaster that international supermodel Fabio got hit in the face
by
a goose. That's
the one.
That is the one.
Wow. All right, that's a must ride.
That ride at night with fireworks going off is a magical experience that you cannot replicate.
Yo, so your Busch Gardens is loaded. Williamsburg has it going on because they've got, let me see, by my count, one, two. I'm not counting Verbolten because that looks like it's a kiddie ride.
No, No, Verbolten is not a kiddie ride.
It's not? Oh, okay. That is so a one, legit two, coaster. Three.
That one has, yo.
I don't know. It looks like a muscle car.
Yeah.
But I guess there's adults on it.
I can't spoil. That one has a.
There's a twist.
That one's got a twist in there that if you are not aware of it, is going to make you shit your pants because you're not expecting it. It's awesome.
4, 5, 6, 7. By the way, Loch Ness Monster looks sick.
Now that's that's the oldest coaster that they have there, and that thing is a rough ride, but it is fun.
And I'm counting five roller coasters. Five looking.
Should be six once six? Pantheon is finished.
Pantheon. Because that's not out yet. It hasn't started. It hasn't opened.
That was supposed to be out by now, but COVID messed up all of that. I still got free ride passes for Pantheon for when that thing's supposed to open. I don't know what's going to happen with those.
COVID. You're messing up everything, COVID.
But listen, I'm thinking like by the time Food and Wine Festival rolls around, hopefully.
Wait, dude. So Busch Gardens does Food and Wine as well?
Oh, yeah. They do Food and Wine Festival. In fact, they just announced that this Busch Gardens is going to be open year round. So that's very exciting. Man, I'm just hoping that by like Halloween, by the time Hallow Scream rolls around, I want to be able to go and get spooked because the haunted houses it's the best time to be at this park. I could live in Hallow Scream. My wife and I both.
And Williamsburg is a historic town. It's colonial Williamsburg, right?
Yes, you got Jamestown. You've got the Yorktown battlefields from the hit musical Hamilton. Like it's all here, baby.
Oh, you got a Ripley's too. Oh,
listen, I've got a story about that Ripley.
You know that it's a tourist area when there's a Ripley's there. That's a fixture.
When I was a serious journalist doing hard-hitting stories, I went and covered a story there about International Sword Swallowing Day. And one of the sword swallowers was at this Ripley's, and my wife pulled a sword out of a guy.
And everything is intact? Made it out all right?
He did. He made her smell the sword afterwards, and she said it was disgusting. So fond memories of that Ripley's. Never actually been inside the place, but the parking lot is delightful.
Oh, man. Well, all right.
I'm intrigued. There's a full weekend planned right here.
This went from a one-hour podcast to a weekend-long excursion to Williamsburg.
Weekend I'm not arguing. Ties, I'm not... Who can say?
Oh man, I like to consider myself an outgoing extroverted person. This thing has been, it's been tough, yeah. But I do hope that we'll be out of the woods soon. I don't think it, but
Biden's talking summer herd immunity. We'll see.
I sure hope so, Ty. Because I miss these places. I miss going to theme parks. I miss going to the movies. Like we talked about HBO Max, them going to a strictly or mainly digital release format. That's scary to me because that's worrisome because I love a good. I still enjoy the theater going experience. We have a theater here in Silver Spring, Maryland, which is an AFI historic theater. And it's a very elaborate, grand theater. And then they have other smaller theaters, but I saw 2001, A Space Odyssey there.
Nice.
And with the whole intermission and everything, I didn't even know it had an intermission. But it felt differently. I saw Rocky Horror Picture Show there for the first time as well. That was always a blind spot in my movie watching career, and I had never seen it, and I went to go experience the full thing with all the yelling of lines and throwing toast at the screen. That kind of stuff you don't get at home. You could, but it's not the same.
No.
I do hope that we get back to normal, so that we can go to Williamsburg.
Yeah, man. Listen, if you're ever in the area, Just hit me up.
I appreciate it.
All right. Now, I believe we have covered everything. We have our six B's. The invitation has been extended. We've shared poop stories. I don't know what else there could possibly be.
Is there, how do we, what's the flourish? You need a flourish at the end to like, I don't got it. I'm sorry, Ty. I have nothing to plug other than, I mean, follow me on Twitter, that guy Zoe. Follow me on Twitch, ZDiddy888. But we need a ta-da. We need a punchline.
Would you like to reprise the role of Elizabeth Fearman and give us some motivating words to go out on?
Live, laugh, love. No. Be kind. Work hard and be. I think I added an extra B in there.
No, you're good.
Kind.
There you go.
Be kind.
What a flourish to finish off this lazy river that has been the Lorenzo. Lorenzo, thank you so much for joining us. You've been very generous with your time. You're welcome back anytime.
Ty, thank you very much, my friend. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me. This has been fun. And I owe you a taste test. So, yeah.
Oh,
I'll
yes.
See you in the near future.
All right. Sounds good, man.
Take care.
Thanks.